Kanchana Gaurangi
Kanchana Gaurangi
Radhe Vrindavaneshwari
Radhe Vrindavaneshwari
Vrishabhanu Suti Devi
Vrishabhanu Suti Devi
Pranamami Hari Priye
Pranamami Hari Priye
Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madhura Smitasya Vadami Radham Karuna Bharatram Tato Mamanyas Digatir Nakvapi. Srimati Radharani is the crest jewel of all amorous young maidens who take pleasure in relishing transcendental mellows. She is a beautiful swan in the waters of love for Krishna, a transcendental wish-fulfilling creeper on the family tree of King Vrishabhanu. And Srimati Radharani is the original source of all the goddesses of fortune. Upon her hips she wears red silken cloth on which tiny bells are swinging, and upon her breasts sways a lovely necklace of pearls. In this way she looks so splendorous that she steals the heart of the beholder. Her bodily luster is exceptionally effulgent, like the golden whirl of the best of lotus flowers. Her two sweetly smiling lips display the immortal nectar of adolescence mixed with the fragrant camphor of new youthfulness. She is completely faithful to Lord Krishna. Seeing that the supremely mischievous son of Nanda has arrived on the outskirts of the Vrindavan forest, as he returns from tending the cows, she becomes stricken with anxiety and affectionately offers prayers to him by the hints and signals of her eyes. So this last verse describes Krishna returning home after his Gocharan Leelas, his Leela of herding the cows. And it describes a meeting of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, whereby which they exchange loving words, you can say, or a loving communication expressed through their highly talkative eyes. Yes, they speak through their eyes. So about this scene, I want to read a little bit this evening. I want to read about the Shayana Leela, which takes place from 6 to 6:24 p.m. Srimati Radharani had burned in the fever of separation when all of a sudden, totally unexpectedly, Tulsi Dasi, one of her maidservants, arrive from Nandishwara with news about Lord Krishna. So Srimati Radharani was like a dead person. Now she would become revived through two types of medicines. One is the Krishna Katha of Tulsi, and the other is the Prasad, the remnants of Krishna's meal which Tulsi brought bound up in a cloth. So when Tulsi came before Srimati Radharani's bed of lotus flowers and water lilies, she began to see Radharani is unconscious, and she just started to talk about Krishna. Whereupon which doe-eyed Radharani very quickly regained her consciousness, hastily got up and said, "O Sakhi, today my afflicted desert-like ears have become fortunate by experiencing an unexpected shower of nectar in the form of Krishna Katha." So Radharani cannot hear enough and requests Tulsi to talk a little bit more about Krishna. And then Tulasi obeys Srimati Radharani by telling what happened at dusk, you know, when the sun tinges the sky reddish. "O Sakhi Radha, when Krishna reached the town gate, Nanda Maharaj came forward, extended his arms, and ran to Krishna to embrace him. Nanda's body became stunned in bliss and studded with thrill bumps. When Nanda set his son on his lap, Krishna appeared like an incomparable blue lotus flower in a lake on Mount Kailash." So Nanda Maharaj then removes part of Krishna's turban because he wants to smell Krishna's hair to see if everything is all right. Then Yashoda, who had spent the evening pacing before the palace, that means running up and down in utter anxiety, why is Krishna late? Why is he late? Comes out of the palace, and as soon as she sees her beloved boy Krishna, two types of rivers come from her. From her breasts, milk flow, which look like the whitish water of the Ganga, and from her eyes, tears flow, which look like the Jamuna. Krishna is so much. Meeting this incarnation of parental affection, Yashoda just sits him on her lap, and she could not see Krishna because her eyes were so full of tears. Now Rohini comes forward with an arati plate and offers an arati by waving a very small golden ghee lamp like ours before Lord Krishna to destroy any eventual inauspiciousness. So Tulsi says to Radha, as I saw this scene, Krishna sitting on the lap of your shoulder and receiving the arati, a grave doubt developed in my heart. Was Krishna the moon sitting on the lap of his birthplace, the nectar ocean of parental affection? Or was Krishna the best of love jewels sitting on top of the mine of love jewels? So in other words, Tulsi tells Radha, Krishna looked so beautiful in this scene, he could only be compared with the moon or with a jewel. So when Krishna is held on the lap of Yashoda, who can't speak but who just cries, Krishna very affectionately addresses his mother by saying, "Oh mother, why are you crying? I'm now sitting here on your lap. Why don't you look at me instead of showering me with your tears?" Then Gopal took a cloth and wiped Mother Yashoda's eyes to just get the tears away. And when Yashoda meets this very tender and loving expression of affection of Krishna, you know, the Krishna says, "Mother, don't cry so much. You can't see me. I'm sitting on your lap. No time to, this is not the right time to cry. It's the time that you should look upon me. After all, you were waiting the whole day for me." And Krishna just wipes away the tears. And when Mother Yashoda sees or feels this sublime affection of her little boy, she feels like a swan drifting on a lake of happiness. This is how she feels. So then she complains like all this, "Oh Vatsa." Vatsa means, "Oh child, you are like a calf. Why do you run away and mercilessly leave me here in Vrindavan town? You are not merciful to me, O lotus of your family. Not even once you have taken me out with you into the forest." Now there's a reason why Krishna doesn't want Mother Yashoda and the elders to come along. I mean, if they are there, Krishna can't freely play with his cowherd boyfriends, and especially he will not be able to meet Srimati Radharani at the gopis. So he always tells them, "Please go and perform your duties. Who will cook for me if you are not home and cook?" In this way, he sends Mother Yashoda home every morning when Mother Yashoda tries to follow Krishna into the forest. The Madhu Mangal, who sits there and wants a little reward, he says, "Mother Yashoda, Krishna is so fickle that he always becomes absorbed in playing with his balali." Balali can mean boyfriends or it can also mean girlfriends. Krishna, hopefully he controls his tongue. And then Madhu Mangal says, "And he always completely forgets himself. What to speak of you? He forgets even you. I'm the only one among Krishna's friends whose mind is a little controlled. And therefore, it was due to me that I reminded him, you must come home before dusk. If I would not have said anything, Krishna would still be playing in the night and the darkness in the forest. Yashoda said, "Oh Brahmana boy, what you say is true. Every day I see fingernail scratches on Krishna's body. But the sharp-nailed boys do not heed my admonitions." I mean, everyone forgets himself in playing. "Whenever they wrestle, they forcibly scratch Krishna's body, which is more tender than a blue lotus flower. Alas, what should I do to stop these naughty boys?" So, Radharani hears this description. She knows from where the nail scratches come, and Yashoda now arranges a bath for her son, and Tulsi explains all the details. She said, "I was called to help rub fragrant oil on Krishna's limbs before the bath could take place." And then Rohini went into the kitchen, and all the elderly ladies, guided by Yashoda, fondled Krishna. So then she describes how Mother Yashoda instructs the servant boys to make Krishna ready for the bath. One takes Krishna's horn, the flute, the stick, another servant boy removes the garland and the ornaments from Krishna, and another takes the turban and the belt, and they all brush away the dust from Krishna's body. And then it's described how Krishna's body is rinsed with the juice of Amalaki, and how he's bathed in sandal-scented water, and everything is described. And then Krishna gets decorated, and he grabs the right hand of a dear friend in his left, and then dances into the dining hall with a friend. Before he reaches, he removes the jeweled sandals which he uses to dance, and then he goes into the dining hall, where he very humbly and affectionately bows down to Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj lovingly embraces him, and again smells his head. And then Krishna asks his father very lovingly, "May I sit?" And he then sits on the royal seat. A little later, from another corner of the dining hall, door opens and Baladev comes into the dining hall with his personal assistants, and then the king of Braj merges into an ocean of happiness by lovingly embracing his beloved Lord Balaram. Then it's described by Tulsi how the boys eat, and how Madhu Mangal jokes while munching his feet, "Oh mother, he says, if one smells these cakes, he will disregard heaven and liberation. I only want to curse the Creator for not giving me an unlimited belly. Furthermore, I think that anyone who doesn't eat enough during this meal, but says, stop, I want to stop, it's enough, I consider him the worst of offenders. That's my opinion. So they all laugh, and after they have eaten, they do archman, and then they all go to a resting room where there are luxurious beds, and they all rest after the meal. Krishna Balaram's clothing, the dhoti, everything had become soiled from eating, because they really get into it. Especially they know that some of the sweets are made by Radharani, so they need to exchange the old cloth with new cloth. They are all very dirty from eating. And then finally, it's described how Krishna, Tulsi describes how Krishna goes to milk the cows. He goes into the beautiful cow sheds. Krishna rested his left arm on the shoulder of a friend while accepting an attractive tambula from another friend with his right hand. Krishna continued chewing this tambula until he finally entered the goshala. And then when Tulsi finishes this description, Radharani has heard so much about Krishna taking prasad and chewing tambula. That she also wants to taste something, and Tulsi finishes her narration and unties her cloth and produces some prasadam remnants. I got these. It's for you. Radharani has been totally satisfied by the tasty Hari Leela Katha, and also by now she gets prasadam. When Radhika hears that Krishna is now actually at the Goshala and not at the palace, she has taken the prasadam, she leaves home to go to Pavan Sarova, where there is a watchtower, a high watchtower, and she climbs the watchtower and then looks from Pavan Sarova into the Goshalas, where Krishna is engaged in milking the cows. And secretly drinks the nectar from the moon of Murari's faith. She sees something which is just so wonderful that I wanted to describe this. Vishaka is up with her and says, Radha, look, all the cows are anxiously waiting for Krishna to speak. When Krishna calls their names, Davali, Shavali, the cows become so excited. Mooing in response, they push the other cows to the side and come running to where Govinda waits for them. And Krishna is just so pleased by his cows that tears of affection begin to shimmer in his eyes as he sees the cows, and he satisfies the cows by lovingly striking them on their back. And then Vishakha describes a beautiful meditation with which I want to leave you for this evening. She says, Radha, look, the prince of Braj squats on the ground to milk the cows, and he holds a golden milk bucket between his knees. Now, the milk in the bucket is serving Krishna and Radharani by somehow capturing the reflection of Krishna's moon-like face and just beaming it to Radharani. You know, the Krishna is here milking the cows, and Radha is somewhere there on the watchtower, and the milk serves Radha, right, reflecting the beautiful face of Lord Krishna. It seems that Krishna's face looks like the moon coming out of the ocean of milk. Krishna's turban loosens because it slightly touches the cow's belly, and then his curly locks slip out from under the turban like a swarm of bumblebees, and his lotus eyes stop dancing. Krishna then worships Mother Earth by first squirming or squirting a few drops of milk on the earth. It goes on the earth. And he wets his fingers, and the cows udders with a few more drops. And then Govinda moves his hands up and down to milk the cows, and the milk which comes splashing into the buckets says, Shana, Shana, Shana. The unmilked cows who hear this sound raise their ears up in ecstasy because they have a great eagerness to also be milked. And Krishna's hips and thighs are marked with pure white drops of milk. They look a little, because something falls. The cows and calves have tear-filled eyes, and they bend their necks to see Krishna's lovely face. And everywhere there are cowherd men who also happily milk the multicolored cows, and they utter splendid commands by saying, take it away, come, bring it here, do it quickly, give it to me, go. It is said that even the most learned scholar is unable to count all the beautiful cows which are there, because there are so many. So you know there is a secret which you should all know. Amazingly, the cow's milk bags remain full even after Krishna has milked them. This pleases the cowherd men extremely, because then they come also and they get double the milk. It's a amazing. Here's the bucket. The cow's milk bag should be empty, but no, it is full. This is the mystical potency of Lord Govinda. So after this has been done, this milking pastime, on usual days Krishna goes back to Nandagram, but on especially hot days Krishna will go to Pavan Sarova, where the watchtower is. Srimati Radharani has been watching all this and enjoys bathing in Pavan Sarova. Fortunate persons always immerse themselves in the nectarian ocean of Krishna's pastimes. So this is a little bit from Radharani's perspective, some of Krishna's pastimes which happen when Krishna has returned from a full day of cow herding, pastimes which are narrated by Tulasi, her trusted servant, who has gone to Nandagram and sees Krishna arriving in Nandagram, sees him being welcomed by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, sees him getting a bath, sees him dancing into the dining hall with his left hand holding a friend, and then sees him after the dining hall going to the Goshala and milking the cows. This is all a nectarian, life-giving juice for Srimati Radharani, who, because of her great love for Krishna, is able to relish and enjoy these pastimes to the maximum extent. Let us conclude this evening by lovingly calling out Jai Desi Radhe. So nice to hear these pastimes, isn't it?